be one another's company and build his house. You know, God wants to build his house. Even in Australia, God wants to build his house. He does. And in spite of all this, let me get to this. All right, so Stephen's full of the grace of the Holy Spirit. He could not resist the wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spoke. And he's arrested and accused in court. You can go to verse 15. But his face was like the face of an angel, the Bible says, even though all this stuff is going on. My goodness, who'd like him on your team now? My, he's amazing. And in spite of all this, or maybe it was because of all this, the response to him was vicious. I happened to watch a fair bit of tennis. I had to believe, who's watched a bit of tennis? The Australian Open. I was interested because I was back at work by then, but the Nadal-Wawrinka game. And I noticed the crowd turn about a set and a half through because everyone thought, as I did, sitting in the crowd, that Rafael Nadal was actually trying to hold things up. He was taking longer than he should. And in fact, the ump actually said, you've got a time warning. And then he went off after two sets and he'd lost the first two sets to Wawrinka. This is the number one. He's the champion and he'd lost the first two sets. And the crowd actually, when he came back out after his injury timeout, started to boo. They didn't stop for a while, but after he started to play again in the third set, they started to realise that actually it looked like he was quite hurt. And so there was this swaying, and it was quite an unusual match to watch. And Wawrinka actually lost the third set and then won the third, and you Australian Open. But what I was interested in was, we don't know all the facts, but we've already made up our mind. And we're all similar. But I want to say this morning that God's not like that. Who's glad about that? That regardless of what's going on, because this is quite a hard-hitting couple of chapters, and it's actually quite a difficult one to grasp, chapter 7 particularly, because Stephen talks in all these stories about the Bible. We're going to look at a few this morning. And that's it. But I just want to get clear here this morning that God's mercy always is prevailing. And regardless of what we may think or what we feel about something, there's always reasons beyond, even sometimes out of our control. And in church life, it can be no different. But I tell you, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Don't kill the messenger. Don't try and be negative if you're here in this church this morning, because we're going to mean business. How good was the presence of God this morning in our worship? We want to mean business with God today. And if we're going to mean business with God, we've got to come alongside and go, how can I help? So next week when Andrea speaks about our purpose in life and we fill out all the forms, whether we're serving or not, we've got to say, I'm involved because I love God. I love God and I love his house. And if I love his house, I will love one another. I will connect and I will make myself part of a team and I will belong to the house of God. That's my purpose. That's my mission in life. Sorry if I'm getting a little bit too excited. Charges against Stephen are given. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down to us. In verse 11, he'd been accused of speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. And so Stephen's on trial for opposing Moses, his customs, and God, and his temple. My goodness. And we all have to decide where we stand when it comes to our main purpose in life. And we are about to find out where Stephen's heart lay. In chapter 7, verse 1, the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? And Stephen answered by telling a condensed version of the whole of the history of Israel. You're going to have a look at the whole of chapter 7. You'll see what I mean. I'm not going to read the chapter. But Stephen speaks about Abraham, and he dwells on Joseph and how the Israelites came to Egypt. Then he spends a long time on Moses before he closes with a brief reference to Joshua and to David and Solomon. And he finally draws this conclusion after a whole chapter. It would have been like an entire message. It would have been like 30 minutes long at least. And he finishes up, and this is what he says after he's given all of the evidence for the history of Israel. Are you listening? This is what he says, Acts 7, verse 51. He draws this conclusion, "You stubborn people." In fact, one version, I think it's the New King James, says stiff-necked. "You stiff-necked people. You are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? But your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered." Mate, he's got the knife in and now he's twisting it. "And you deliberately disobeyed God's law, though you received it from the hands of angels." So what is Stephen's defense this morning? Well, in the Bible as well. His defense is that history proves the opposite. What I mean by that is that it is Israel as a people who had stiffened their necks against God and resisted the Holy Spirit. They persecuted the prophets of God. They killed Jesus, the Son of God. And now they are about to kill a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who need to give an account, not Stephen. As we know, it didn't turn out so well for Stephen himself. But we need to let Stephen's message minister to us. And there's a couple of ways this morning. Israel, Stephen says, always resisted the Holy Spirit. And what this means is this: God has been working for Israel again and again and again. Who believes God is working for us again and again and again? He works for his church again and again and again. There's repeated acts of mercy. There's repeated acts of patience with God. There's repeated acts of long-suffering. It's not like us in the crowd, just wipe them out. "Oh, no, that can't be right." You know, the way they treated Nadal was, now that we knew all the facts, everyone would have gone, "I was actually quite appalled. I shouldn't have done that." And second, they had repeatedly hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks and stopped their ears to the work of God. And God wants to speak to us in these ways. One, he wants to encourage us. Who'd like some encouragement from God today? We all like to be encouraged. He wants to encourage us that by this story of his patience and long-suffering with a rebellious people, who's a little bit rebellious like me? Come on, be brave. We've all got it in us. We're all rebellious. We're no different. And in some ways, this is a story of the church, and I don't think human nature's changed that much, has it? Bible says in Exodus 34, he is slow to anger and rich in unfailing love. Come on. And second, there's a warning. He wants us to be warned that there is an end to his patience. There is a resistance to the Holy Spirit that goes so long, and so far that God hands a person over into the power of his own sin. And you could say he eventually gets off your case. Have a look at Romans, 1:21, I think it is. There's a few passages of scripture that refer to it. And Stephen refers to this in 7:42. God turned away from them and gave them up to serve the sun, moon, and stars as their gods. So here we have the picture of, in this particular, where he's referring to the history of Israel. And he's talking about the golden calf. And Moses has gone up the mountain. Who knows, it's always good to go up the mountain with God. It's always good to get into the prayer room of God. Always good to spend time with God. And God's no respecter of age. Doesn't matter whether we're young or old, we can carry the presence of God on our lives. And God wants us to carry God. And so that we can have more good news stories. And so that Murdoch Hospital will send some doctors down here and go, how is it done? A simple prayer by someone who loves Jesus. That's all it takes. That's all it is. And here's Stephen. He's being accused for being a man who stands up to having a relationship with the living God. Moses is up the mountain. And the people under Aaron's direction, if I was God, and I don't know how Aaron survived all this, but anyway, he did. That just shows his mercy again. And Aaron goes, well, maybe we should just, because they're gone for a while. I wonder where they've got to. Well, what's happened? He's only up there with God bringing down the Ten Commandments, the law. When we were out of the house of God for a little while, how much easier is it? I was on holidays for a couple of weeks. Man, I felt heathen myself. And that was only 2 weeks. It's like that, isn't it? But when we come back into the house of God, how quickly do we reconnect? How important is it to associate with those in the house of God? And so there they are, and they're getting all their gold earrings. I don't know if Andrew's would be worth that much, but they're taking all the gold, and they're taking all the things of value, because they had a bit of gold back then, and they melt it and they make this massive big golden calf. And the worst thing about it is that they actually say, these gods, looking at that God, these gods have brought us out of Egypt. And they've forgotten completely about God so quickly. We would never be like that, would we? See, there's great meaning for us today. Just as Stephen was trying to show his accusers where their true loyalties lay. By speaking about the history of Israel, human nature has not changed that much. And we can be just like our forefathers. We can attend a service, we can go along with the flow, but somewhere along the line, our hearts are with those things that are made with our hands, and we may not even realize it. The second way God wants to minister to us is to awaken us to the awesome truth that we can resist him so long and want other things so much more than we want him, that he finally turns away, stops convicting, stops giving the gracious feelings of guilt, and hands us over entirely to our own sin. But I tell you, like I've said already this morning, while you've still got breath, you can still repent. So when does repentance, when does his mercy ever end? Seriously, we can learn from history that he simply wants us to wake up and start to serve the real thing. And so God desires that we reach the promised land. If we're going to make points of this, that would be my first point. For the sake of time, I'm going to go a little bit over, but this morning, I want us to get this morning. God desires that we reach the promised land. Who'd like to reach the promised land? We're not just talking about the Israelites. We're talking about us as a people, talking about us and our future. And I want to. I'll get into it. Acts 7:2-3. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he moved to Haran. We're talking about Abraham now, right? And God told him, "Leave your native land and your relatives, and come to the land I will show you." Abraham is asked by God to make a journey of approximately 1,100 miles. That was a straight line. And they had to walk. They didn't have cars. They didn't have motorbikes. They had to walk. And it wasn't straight. It was mountainous territory. It was a walk that took them from the modern-day border of Turkey and Iraq through some mountainous terrain, and they'd finally got to the border of Syria and the Mediterranean Sea. And Abraham settled down, however, in a place about halfway along his journey in a place called Haran. And my guess is that many families were looking around and going, this is a nice place. This is good. This is comfortable. We've got plenty of water. It's lush. It was meant to be, according to the history, not so much now. A really good place to settle down. But what had God said? What had God said? God said you're to go to Canaan. They'd only gone halfway. And so it happened that his father, Terah, died there. And sometimes we need a bit of a wake-up call, don't we, to get back into the purposes of God. Let's all wake up this morning to the purposes of God for our lives. And we may ask ourselves today, or be thinking to ourselves, this is far enough. This is nice. I'm in a good place right now. I think I'll settle down right here. I've been led far enough. I mean, I've said this myself. I think I know how to do what Christian life's all about now. I know it all, you could say. We might not say it outwardly, but we say it inwardly, that we've kind of got it sorted. I've been here long enough. Someone else can keep going with the plans. God wasn't angry with Abraham. God's not angry with you. And even though he stalled halfway to where God wanted him to be, remarkably, the Bible says in verse 4, God moves him. Now, it depends on your version, but it seems that there's some special power from God to move Abraham to get him where he needed to be. The Amplified Bible says God transferred him. Many years ago, I had a red Hilux four-wheel drive. It was a beast. It was souped up, had all the gear. It was built, had different suspension. And long story short, went up to Lancelin because I used to enjoy surfing back then, same as I do now. But I was just messing about in the sand, not far from the beach. And I'd just been playing around, and I was on my own. There was no other cars with me. And suddenly the car just went. Pfft. I could no longer see the wheels. I was on the chassis. I could literally just step out. I couldn't actually open the door properly. And you know, there was the sand. That's how bogged it was. So I made a few futile attempts to try and get out. And, you know, got the shovel out. You know, but on my own, it was just like the wind had blown it in. I didn't realize the wind had just blown in, and it was just soft. It was just sitting on a bang. And so after a couple of hours, I started to think I could be in trouble here. And you know, the ocean's not that far away. And this man come along in his four-wheel drive. And I can't remember if I had a snatchem strap. A snatchem strap is simply something to pull you out, and like a tow rope, but it's stretchy. And he hooks it up. He had this big beefy car, you know, back 20 odd years ago. You had lots of V8s in the cars, and he hooked it up, and he had one go, and the car just went nowhere. The strap was pyong. I thought, oh, this is not good. So we dug some more out, and slowly and surely, after many times, he probably needed a new snatchem strap by the end of it, we got the vehicle out. And sometimes we can be bogged down in the things of life, and we can be so bogged in that we don't realize that God's trying to snatch us out and change us into someone that he can use. God wants to change you into someone new. I was just... Because God doesn't want us... He wants us to have purpose. He wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to get involved in the greatest cause. And the greatest cause is not our work. The greatest cause is not our family alone, although it's important. Our greatest cause is not what we do at youth on Friday, although that's really important as well. Our greatest cause is serving and having a purpose for God himself. And so it doesn't really matter what kind of job we have or haven't right now. God wants to propel you forward. Man. Every time I go to the Bible, there is life that God wants to give us. Where are you at? You see, there's a couple more stories, and I'm going to get to them. I'm just doing it this morning. You know, I hardly ever preach over time, but today we might just go a little bit over. Anyway, are you willing to be snatched up from your current place and be moved along by God wherever you are right now in God? God wants to shift you. Is that true? God wants to use you. God wants to catapult you somewhere different. He doesn't want you to stay the same. He doesn't want you to be the same old, same old. There's more for God than we're doing right now. There's more stuff to get involved in. Oh, I'm actually doing a workout this morning myself. See, there's no welcoming party for Abraham when he finally got to Canaan. It doesn't say that there was brass bands. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Welcome to Canaan. It doesn't say that it gets really easy. But I tell you what, I'd rather be in the purposes of God and have hard work than be useless at just na-na-na-na-na-na. And then go and bog down and wonder why, because the devil gets his greatest stronghold when we're doing nothing for God. Keep involved. Faith is trusting God's word enough to risk living by it. Will you position yourself so that God can give you an extra push to get you to where he wants you to be? Second, God can overcome our resistance. Stephen continues to paint the story of Israel to his accusers. These sons of Jacob were very jealous of their brother Joseph, and this is Acts 7, verse 9. And they sold him to be a slave in Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him from his anguish. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers. We're not going to go into the story too much. They sold as a slave for listening clearly to the word of the Lord over his life, but God used it for good. What did God do? He used it for good. What happened? What happened to his brothers and his whole family? What happened? They were without food. They were completely destitute. It was like they had to, God set it up. And they had to come to the one they hated. And there was reconciliation. There was joy. Because God has a purpose for those who will stay the course. So God has a plan. So even when it's looking not so good for your life, God still has a plan. Will you stay in with God? Be buddies. Say, Lord, regardless of my situation right now, if you're having a tough one, I don't know if it'd be any tougher than what Joseph went through. Have you been put down a hole lately and left for dead? Thirdly, you may have decided to reject God's leadership altogether. Moses says this. I think it's in, I don't know exactly the verse, but the next day he visited them again and saw two men fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. So this is the early days of Moses' ministry. And he said, "You are brothers. Why are you hurting each other?" This is what they said in response. "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Someone has to lead, guys. In life, there's always going to be someone over us. Do you think God wants us to actually go along with whoever those leaders are? Give me an answer. Yes. Even when it's like Joseph was not even his... It's foreign to him. He didn't like some of the principles. They worshipped a different God, but he was still submissive to him. God's able to use his anointing and his power. The Holy Spirit and God on Joseph and the wisdom that Joseph had made all the difference. eventually, back to Moses, leads him across the Red Sea. Number four, this is, I want to talk about this one. Number four, made with hands. See, Stephen gets to the point of the temple and the accusations against him. In Acts 7 verse 47. Let's go there. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. However, the Most High, so he's rounding up his history of Israel. The Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you ever build me a temple as good as that? Asked the Lord. Could you build a dwelling place for me? Didn't I make everything in heaven and earth? Why are we often resistant to God's will in our life? As Stephen said, must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? And it's subtle sometimes. And we find the answers in verse 41 and 48 of this chapter. Verse 41, they rejoiced in the thing they had made. And in verse 48, the Most High God does not live in temples made by human hands. The root evil in many in Israel was that they derived their joy, their fulfillment, their meaning, and their sense of significance from what they could achieve with their own hands. We live in a consumeristic society. We live in a world where achievement means everything. But it's not God's system. It's not God's system. And we have to force ourselves sometimes and change our mind, because schools will tell you they want to stay at the top 90 to 100% what they are and going into, and you get taught the best thing to do is just achieve, work. Do your very best. Do this, do that. But who knows that sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, and then suddenly, woof. Because yes, we've got to work, and the Bible talks about working hard. The Bible says we've got to get involved in, and yes, we're a part of this world, so all those things are important. We do the best we can. But ultimately, our heart is with the purposes of God. Church, this changes everything if we really get a hold of what Stephen was stoned for. Sometimes the things that we have and what we are working for, whether we see it or not, takes priority over the purposes of God. And God wants us to be transformed like Stephen was, to the power of the Holy Spirit, and have wisdom from above so that we will learn from history. And you will learn from your history of your own life that you might go well for a while in the achievement and the success realm. But sooner or later, there's something that happens. The world is not a safe place, is it? It's not as stable as we often think. And yet we go up and down. Oh, it's good right now. Housing's good right now. Man, you know, yeah. But what's going to happen in a few years' time? There's probably going to be another dip. One thing doesn't change. One thing we must hold on to. One thing that if we're doing all that, and we might be having our investments, and we're still doing all those things, but one thing we put first in our life is that we will love God. And He will be our priority. And that we will put His house first, because it's such a priority in our life, because, well, we love God. And if we love God, I will love His house. And if I love His house, I will love connecting with other people in His house. I will be a part of a connect group, which we're going to talk more about later. And then because I love His house, because I'm connected with others, it actually helps me do my life win the community far better. And I have my priorities the right way around, not from the other end. My God is Lord of my life. Not my possessions, not where I'm working, not my where I'm going to get my next job. Yes, we have to do all these things, but my priority remains my Lord. Will we learn? Will all of us learn this morning? The Bible says they rejoiced in the things they had made. And he talks about it early on as well as later on, Stephen. He wanted to make a point that the Most High God does not live in temples made by human hands. Mark 14:58, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands. Made without human hands. And when Jesus said he would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, not made with hands, he meant he would destroy this kind of religion. You see, one person, Pastor Nigel, can do so much. My son Jared, who's agreeing with me this morning, can do so much in the worship team. Caroline can do so much leading the music team. Bremer can do so much. Isn't he an awesome on that guitar? You know? And all you, everyone that serves in the house of God. But we know our limitations. We can only do so much. But together. Come on. But together. When we get involved together, who knows what God can do? But at least, even if it's tough for a while, even if there's a situation and things we can't change immediately, at least we're putting the purposes of God first, and he has his best opportunity to build something magnificent. My God. My God. My God. So where do you stand this morning? See, Stephen did not look for the achievements of his own hands or the performances of his own power. He looked to God in faith and relied on the Holy Spirit. He actually mentions it really early on in 7 verse 2. He talks about the glory of God. Every one of us must allow more room for God in our life. This year, we've got to allow more room for God in our life. Acts 7:49-50. Let me finish this up this morning. Verse 50, didn't I make everything in heaven and on earth? Did not my hand, you could say, make all these things? Today, are you ready to be chosen by God for your highest purpose in life? It's not just about all the things I do. See, I think in part the church has got, I'm successful in this, so God must be on my side. I don't think the Acts is actually saying that. I don't think the Bible's saying that. Sure, some of it might be that way. God is using various churches, but the point I want to make is, God wants to use the people that he's put together to build the greatest work possible. He's put us together for a reason. Chapter 6, verse 3. Go back there. Chapter 6, verse 3. Now look around among yourselves, brothers, and select good men. Let me put in women as well. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Not necessarily the smartest, not necessarily the most popular, not necessarily the best looking, not necessarily the most talented, but men and women who were chosen and who were respected because of their genuine love for God and his people. The success of C3 Fremantle rests with the response of God's people. And Stephen was laying it out. And he knew that their hearts weren't changing because he'd been through the whole of history and they're like, oh, when can we just get, can we, oh, we're going to get you. And they did. And even in his last breath, and this is why I know he was so gracious, what a man. He said, forgive them. Do not hold this sin against them. Because he was changing, and I think he knew in the Holy Spirit that he was changing history forever. Who's prepared to be a part of Stephen's team, full of faith in the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and go, I'm standing up for the Lord in my life. I'm standing up for what I know to be true in my school, in my situation. I'm standing up for what I know is the best way to live my life. And if you're here this morning and you've been sitting and you've been, thanks Janelle, and you've been stuck, is it time for God to get his snatch and stretch strap out and catapult you into his future? God wants to use us together. Will you be in church next week? Will you be in church the following week? Unless you're on holidays, where do we be? Where are we going to be? The house of God. Because we love God. Where do you think Stephen would have been today? He would have been in God's house. Yeah, hand out communion. Don't wait for me. Thanks, guys. Let's do this together this morning. We're going to make a difference this morning over communion. If you're with your partner this morning, your husband, wife, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, you might want to do it together. We have a choice today to say no and remain in a place of resistance to God. Or we can learn from our spiritual history and become men and women determined to progress the work of God. I don't know about you, but I'd love to progress the work of God with you this year. Can we progress the work of God this year together? Church, can we progress the work of God this year? Can we do it together? Young people, older people, wherever we're at, can we progress the work of God together? Can we be generational changers? Can we change our thinking and go, the most important thing in my life is not all that other stuff. I know I've got to do it, but I'll allow time for my first priority and build the purposes of God in my life. You know, we've got some great faithful men and women in our church like Charlie and Helen who have been with us from the very beginning. Good people. We've got other great faithful people that have been with us for a long time now. But it's time we all stood and rose and said, you know what? There's too many things I've put off. There's too many things I'm bogged down in which actually aren't going to make a scrap of difference to my family and my family's family. I'm going to get right in the purposes of God today. My mum and dad, we'll take communion, were not Christians. Something happened when they came to Australia. And we started going to a church not, I don't know, 10-minute drive from our house. And I'm from about 11 years old. From that moment on, I never knew mum and dad not going to church. Because of my mum and dad's faith in God and the purposes of God, mum was a Sunday school teacher, it was called back then, and has only just wound up at C3 Hepburn Heights. But she's still serving God. Dad died 20 years ago, but he served God and helped mum with kids' church, and you know, he was a bit unusual. And so for those kids who think your mum and dad's a bit unusual, get used to it. Get used to it. But I tell you, as unusual as we may be, talking from as a father, one thing never changes, my love for my God. I will love the Lord all the days of my life. Something happens. Will you help change the generation? Spilling it everywhere. Help change the generations. Next. And even if you don't have family, or you're a guardian for someone, bring them to the house of God. Get involved. Serve in God's house. And together, let's make a difference. Together, young or old, will we take this commitment seriously as we've got communion in our hands this morning? My number one purpose is to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and be involved in the purposes of God, and I will learn from history today. If I'm bogged down, I will seek the right help. I will go to people in the church, and I will move from my place of complacency into a place of serving the purposes of God. Let's take the communion in our hands. Why don't you pray this morning, individually or as a couple? Take communion for yourselves. Thank you, God. People of God said, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget to 25th of Feb, our Connect group meeting. And serving next week and the purpose of God.